Let's get right into it. Not probably, traditional per se, but we might even talk about the resurrection of the Lord this morning. So over in Joel, I believe it's chapter 2. Who's got the laptop for me? Nick? How many remembers a couple weeks ago I had preached on the book of Joel, talked a little bit about some of the things that the enemies over the years have taken from us. And defining that real quick, you guys ever been in a spot where your thoughts, your own thoughts, have confused? You ever get in that time where you're just like, wow, thoughts can be a little overwhelming. How many ever have your thoughts talk to you? You ever talk to yourself? Well, there you go. There you go. Pretty simple, right? Sometimes you get to really talking to yourself, don't you? And you're like, you come to yourself like, what the heck am I doing, man? Like, I'm the only guy here. And actually, there's a lot of people in that conversation. A lot of characters, if you will. It's interesting. So what do you talk to yourself about? That's an interesting question. Why do you think there are differences among us in demeanors and personas and personalities even? Some that are a lot of faith in God. It's very important, isn't it? What do you think your life would be without God? Even the thought of God, what do you think? You know, they've even done studies on that. Scientists have done studies on what people's minds and brains are like without the thought of God. Interesting studies. Not a lot of good results from that. It's important to have the thought of God in you. And in actuality, whether you understand this or not, every single one of you have God in you. You have the thought of God in you. It's your very morality, if you will. It's your anchor. It directs you, the Spirit of God directs you, Brad, every single day. You just got to listen. You believe that's important? You got to learn to listen. So when I ask you, what are your thoughts doing? What kind of voices, what kind of things are happening within you? What do you think I'm really after? I'm after whether God is talking to you and you're listening and talking back to God. I'm asking, is there a conversation, if you will, a meditation of the heart that are in the things of God that is increasing your faith? To teach you and walk you and guide you into greater things of truth. Wouldn't that be the desire of God's heart this morning? So at times there are enemies that work in our thoughts to oppose that. They lie to you. For example, they tell you what? That the word of God's not in you. That God's not in you. That God does not love you. We know that's a lie, don't we? So those were the enemies I was talking about, just in generalities. Those were the enemies I was talking about. Those things that oppose the truth of the gospel in our hearts. As to allow God to be enlarged in us. To allow the grace of God, the faith of God, the truth of God. As John the Apostle said, now we have an understanding because Jesus Christ has come and has given us an understanding. Now we can depart from those idols. We can depart from those lies. We can depart from those things that have opposed us, and we can walk in faith. We can walk in peace. How many of you would like to be in peace this morning? Boy, peace is a phenomenal thing. You ever met someone tormented in their thoughts? There's a lot of people in this world tormented in their thoughts, aren't there? Is there an answer for that? What's the answer? Go get a new house? Go get a new car? Get a new wife, new girlfriend, new job, more money? Does that bring you peace? Or does God bring a person's spirit to a place of peace? How many believe you are spiritual beings? You have a spirit, you have a soul, and you have a body. Sometimes in this world, we allow these things out here to dictate how our life goes. Because they work in desires that abide within our flesh. But if you want to find God, what do you got to do? You've heard me say it many times. What do you got to do? Got to go inward, don't you? You take your eyes off these things and you go inward and you allow the meditation of the heart to be what God speaks to and leads and guides. You let the things of God come into your spirit and it what? It changes you. That's the will of God. How many want to be changed? So I'm simply telling you that there is a truth, a gospel of Jesus Christ that has been preached many times that is here this morning to come into your spirit and begin to change you. It will change you. It will transform you. You'll be transformed by the what? The renewing of your mind. So when you talk about those enemies that have come into you and they speak to you, whether you're consciously aware of them or not, anything that opposes the truth of who you truly are, Brad, is what? It's an enemy. Anything that is not of faith. Have you guys ever looked at that? Anything that is not of faith is what? Sin. Wow. That's interesting. That'd be a lot of things, huh, Keith? So what did Jesus die for? For our sin. So you say, well, I have no way out. Lie number one. Jesus made a way. That's the whole Easter message, isn't it? That Christ died for our sins and then was buried and raised from the dead. So in Joel, if we're there, but just find me the part where it talks about God restoring. I don't remember what verse it is. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. The prophets were very important, weren't they? By the time we're done, we get over to Acts chapter 2 and we talk about Peter and what he preached on the day of Pentecost. He references even David, because the apostles had great understanding in regards to what God had sown by way of the prophets. If you haven't read your Bible in a while, go back and look at all the wonderful things God did for Israel by sending prophets. What did prophets do? They prophesied the word of the Lord. They prophesied the word of God. When Israel would get seduced into their own desires, their own lust, their own thoughts, and they would go into captivity, into the bondage of their enemies, what did God do for them? God would send them a prophet, teach them the way of the Lord and how to sanctify him to bring them out of that thought of captivity. And for a time, what would they do? They'd follow the word of the prophet. They would submit to God. They would humble themselves. They would cry out to God. In actuality, the reason God sent the prophet was because of their cry. And their cry came about because of their captivity. You notice, the only time we really cry out to God is when? Some of you are chuckling because you're like, oh my God, yeah, I just got that. I've done that. You cry out to God because of your captivity, James. That's why you cry. Is that a bad thing? You know what the bad thing begins to be? Is when you go into a cycle where you cry out to God every time you're in trouble and God brings you a word, and for a time you come back to God in a sense and you serve the Lord, but before you know it, your lust gets the best of you and you're back into that captivity. Therefore, a curse is perpetually working in your members, in your life, in your thought, in your mind, in your spirit. You say, a curse? My God. Am I cursed? If you're not in peace, if you're not in joy, if you're not in the wonderful things of the Spirit of God, and there are thoughts tormenting you, troubling you, lying to you, what do you think that is? That's a curse working. It works in families. It works in generations. Have you ever seen generations in this life? I'm talking about in this life for a moment. Have you ever looked at your family, families? There's a cycle that works in my family here. There's a cycle that works in my generations. I don't want to be like that. You ever had that prayer? You ever taken that thought? I watched all my uncles and all my elders, if you will, of my family, and I watched the cycles they were in over and over and over again. They repeated the same cycle. And it was not good. I'm not going to share those things, but it was not good. And I remember being a little boy going, I don't want to be like that. Not knowing that I was in my own cycle already. Easy to judge those things, not discerning what is working in your own heart. But God was faithful. There was a call of God there. And what was God after? He was after his seed, was he not? Is the seed of God in you? Are you the seed of God? That's a question you should ask yourselves this morning. Am I the seed of God? In other words, where do you come from? Who are you? What are you? Why are you here? You ever ask those questions? Who am I? What am I? Who do I come from? Is it just by chance that I'm in this life? Am I just here one and out, one and done? You know, you hear that old saying that you just got one life to live? Is that it? So I'm going to live it up. Not knowing when you take your last breath, you have to face eternities. This is an important thing to consider. So when you look at your life and you see those things that work in your generations, there's a cry that begins to come up, Keith. There's a desire because the word of God has been speaking to you. It's been leading you to come out. I believe it's in Corinthians. It says, come out from amongst them, those things of my people. Come out from amongst those things of the world and touch not the unclean thing. In other words, you don't have to be part of those things of wickedness, those things of curses. You don't have to be part of those things that work in those generations. You could be different. Not saying you're walking around here with an attitude, well, I'm better than everybody. No. It's just that in you, God has done a great work. He's changed you. So you're not bound by those curses anymore. That'd be partaking of the resurrection, would it not? So you die to those things that you desire, James, and you come alive to the things that God has for you. Does that mean that, oh my God, you can't have no fun in this life? No, live your life, have fun, enjoy your family, your kids. We spent time with the grandkids yesterday. It's wonderful times. Nothing wrong with those things. But the whole time in the spirit, you are at peace. You are full of joy, and you know why. You know why you're in joy. You can enjoy now those grandchildren in ways that you could never enjoy them before because you know the Spirit of God is in us. And it's produced peace. It's changed things that you know now if as you walk with God, those curses will not continue. You have power over those things. And at the right time, when God's visitation is ready, you can go in even to those, your generations, as the angel of the Lord, Keith, and be the ministering work of salvation to them and do for them what God has done for you. I know that's not going to be understood for everyone, but trust me when I tell you, God is faithful. So these things that the locust and the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, all these things, they define enemies, if you will. Let's just keep it simple. They define enemies that work in our thoughts, lies. God said, I'm going to restore those years you've lost. So you could take a thought and say, my God, man, for the last 30 years, I remember when God began to first identify some things for me, and I was like, well, I feel like the last 30 years was just a waste. Was it? What do you think? All that teaching, preaching, all that traveling, all that going, all that time in my life, I thought certain things were God. And I just identified it was thinking God was here in this physical plane. If you serve God, God would bless you and increase you in this life. Sound familiar? I did not know that the truth of God's word would work within me and change the very spirit, the very nature of my being. It would put me in eternal peace. Never again having to be put into those places where I did not know who I was and could not escape darkness. God's give you guys power to overcome darkness. Didn't he say in John, I've give you power to become the sons of God? What do you think? You going to take God up on that invitation? Because it's an invitation to the table. Imagine being invited to a heavenly table where only the sons of God can enter. Now, when I say sons of God, It's to whosoever believeth. That means male, female, every single person sitting in this room right here. God's word opens doors and grants invitation into a place of truth where you can reason with God and God can teach you and lead you and bring you into a place of understanding. And is it not then, James, that you can depart from evil? Is that the only time? Only with understanding can you depart from evil. Only when God begins to define these. Let's go over to Acts 2 now. Only when God begins to define enemies, captivities, curses, can you depart from them. If God makes these things plain to you, can you walk away from them? Let me ask you a question. Anybody ever, don't raise your hand. Anybody ever done things like, I don't know, smoking, drinking? I've heard people say, I just can't quit. But then I've watched other people lay it down, walk away from, never do it again. Interesting, huh? Why do you think they could do that, James? Was there a will working there? Could they just say no? Like to cigarette smoking. I'm just using a very carnal example, physical example. They could say no, right? I'm not going to smoke again and never touch it again. Why? Why? Why could they do that? Because they have power to do that. So could you walk away from some of the thoughts that trouble you if you knew the truth? Could you? How could you do that? Because the truth gives you power to do that. Does that make sense? In other words, if you've been given power to become the Son of God, do you have power to overcome those enemies? If God grants you understanding and shows you, hey, here's a curse that's working, would you like to be free of that? Oh, yeah, I want to be free. I want to be in peace. I want to be in a place where my thoughts do not trouble me like they have. Well, here you go. Here's truth. Once that truth is understood, do you now have power to depart? Do you have power to be changed? Do you have power to walk in newness of life? Do you have power to be free? Acts 2. Is that where you're at? Let me just confirm here because there's quite a bit we could read there, and I don't want to read all of it. You're in 16. Let's go back to 14 real quick. Now, this is on the day of Pentecost. The prophecy of Joel is about to take place in one named Peter. Everyone knows Peter's the apostle of God, one of the disciples that followed Jesus, okay? He told them, go and tarry in Jerusalem. Wait there until you are endued with power from on high. Is that what we're talking about? If I told you the answer to your dilemma this morning, is for God to endue you with power from on high? Would that be the answer? Would that be the all-in-all answer for you? I'm not talking about getting a quick fix to address things of this life. I'm talking about allowing the power of God, Vicky, to come into you and change your very spirit to where you now have peace and love and joy in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is real, people. It's real. God is real. So when we begin to talk about these things, Peter standing up on that day, after having tarried and been obedient to the commandment of the Lord, go and wait until endued, he now stands up, having been filled with the Holy Ghost, lifts up his voice, and said unto them, you men of Judea. Now it's interesting. I was thinking about this morning. When you're in bondage, Michelle, do you have a voice? It's oppressed, isn't it? Hard for you to speak for yourself, isn't it? Why? Because there's other voices that are speaking on your behalf, if you will. They're speaking against you to hold you in that captivity. In other words, there's things in you that have more power than you do at the time. Else, why can't you just walk away from it and escape? What do you think, Brad? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You ever had voices speaking in you, your own thoughts, so dominant that word of God in you was so oppressed it couldn't escape the authorities that put you in that bondage? You wanted to escape, didn't you? But you couldn't find your voice in the matter. Peter found his here because the Holy Ghost came into him and gave him great power. Now standing up, he begins to to proclaim the word of the Lord. And he says very simply, you men of Judea, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. Now Peter's going to address everything in the midst there. He's going to begin to proclaim the word of the Lord that God has now imparted unto him. And what's going to happen? The gospel of Jesus Christ is going to begin to go forth. Let's read down, Nick. Let's keep going down. I want to get down. These are things that were spoken. That's what he begins to share with them. These are things that were spoken by, right there, by the prophets. And he says, it shall come to pass in the last days. This is exactly what, you'll have to go back and read it, exactly what the prophet Joel said, that in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Young men shall see visions. Old men shall dream dreams. And all my servants, handmaids, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I'll show wonders in heaven. Let's keep going. Blood, fire, smoke. Sun turned to darkness. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is this how we started? That cry. There's a cry that begins to come forth. And what does God begin to do for you? Did Israel cry when they were in captivity? You just preached on this a while back, Keith. When Egypt, Israel, was in Egypt, and they were in captivity for 400 years, what did they begin to do? They begin to cry out unto the Lord. Did God hear their prayer? I'm telling you, there is something powerful when the word of God, the seed of God in you, begins to cry out unto the Lord and begin to petition God for help. You know why people depart from sin? You know why people depart from curses and death and things of this life and this world that oppress the life and truth and joy and peace of God? You know why they depart from it? Because they come to a place where they're fed up with it. They come to a place where they're sick of it. Have you ever reached a place where you're sick of captivity? You're tired of that cycle? You ever come to a place where you don't want to be in bondage anymore? That's exactly what began to happen to me. That's exactly what's happened to some of these elders. They come to that place where they got sick of sin. I received a phone call the other day and someone asked me, what was it like for you? What was it like for you? What took place? What had to happen for this peace of God to come into you, for these changes to come into you? I'll tell you what, I got tired of the lies. I got tired of all the lies, everything I thought God was, that didn't work, that didn't bear fruit, that didn't bring peace, Keith, that kept me in a continual, perpetual cycle of things I did not understand. And as I began to cry out for God, God, open my ears, open my eyes, and let me see. God answered that prayer. I've heard your prayer. And he began to do what? He began to open my eyes and unstop my ears, and I began to actually hear for the first time what the Spirit of the Lord was saying. And what was one of the first things God began to identify? He began to identify, James, those things of death. In other words, the thought patterns, the cycles of thought that I had been in all my life. You say you want to be changed. You say you want to be different. Here's the truth. Can you handle it? Like that movie, you can handle the truth. Well, I want the truth. I begin to desire the truth more than anything. And what did God do with that? He began to give that truth. And that truth breaks shackles. It breaks captivity. It opens prison doors. That's what Jesus said in Luke 4. This is the reason I've come. This is the purpose. This is the reason God, the Spirit of the Lord, has anointed me to preach the gospel so that I can open prison doors. Recovering of sight to the blind. Unstop deaf ears. Heal the lame, the raise the dead. This is the reason why the Spirit of God comes into you. The outpouring of the Holy Ghost comes in you to change you, to raise that which was dead back to life, to grant it understanding and wisdom and teach it and lead it and guide it and cause it to understand who it is. And you become what? You become a new man. So when you hear things that teach you one thing about how to obtain the things of God, and it doesn't work for you, something begins to happen. You begin to cry out and you go, my God, why is this not working? Well, that wouldn't necessarily be the right question, would it? But as the true seed of God begins to cry out and ask God for help, will God turn a deaf ear? If it is a true prayer of God, will God turn a deaf ear? Or will God hear that prayer and go, you know what? That's my seed praying right there. That's my seed asking me. That's my word coming back to me. I'm going to answer this prayer. Is that all it takes? Can it be that simple, Brad? Is this not what happened for these disciples? Jesus spent 3.5 years with them and taught them how to pray, taught them how to walk, taught them how to speak, taught them about the great things of heaven. And this is what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about, to teach you about heaven. Because guys, when you die, there is something beyond life. And I ask you a question this morning. Would it be important to know what those things are? Would it be important to know what is beyond this life? I say yes and amen. It would be awesomely important, if that's proper English. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can it really be that simple? Let's keep going. He said, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, signs, did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. So where does it take place? In the midst of you. In other words, God does this in you. He can do this for you. My God, man, nothing more exciting. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. That's awesome. Ye have taken by wicked hands, crucified and slain, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. So do you think God knew from the very beginning what was going to happen here? That his own son, go read John 3:16, God sending his own son into the world to die, to be buried, and to be raised again for the salvation of his people. God knew from the very beginning, at the sending of his word, it would be slain, it would be crucified, it would be rejected. But what did God also know? That his seed was going to hear that word. And in the resurrection of his Christ, what was going to happen to that seed? That word of God in you, Brad, was going to come with that resurrection, with that Christ. So in other words, God giving his own son and his son died, laying down his life for you, would be the only way out of that captivity, Keith. And did God do that for us? Why did he do that for us? Because he loved us, bro. And he loves us still. Greatly does God love us. God's will is not for you to remain in death, but to what? To partake of the resurrection and to be in life and peace. That's the will of God. Is it possible to have a little bit of heaven now? Oh, come on now. I say you could have all of heaven right now. You could walk in the love and joy and peace of God even in this life with all of its distractions, with all of its complexities. You can walk in God right here, right now, and be free. Let's wrap this up. David speaketh concerning him. This is awesome. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Wait a minute. David foresaw the Lord always? Is it possible? Let's keep reading here for a second. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Think about it. Just a real quick thought here. David, the angel of the Lord, beholding the face of his father always. Was his soul for a time in hell? Was his soul for a time in hell? Is that how it worked, Megan? So did the prayer have to come from David in the heaven in order to see God bring a resurrection to that soul that was in that death and flesh? I'm telling you right now, God has not forgotten that which is in death. And upon the awakening of this David, this angel of the Lord in heaven, what did God do for him? He partook of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, his soul was brought with him. So he did not remain in death, did he? Because later down the line, he refers to this as being Christ, as Jesus himself. So I'm saying very simply that God is not forgotten. There is something in God, how God knows each and every one of you that is in heaven today. And that part of you, God has not forgotten. So when you're only in the consciousness per se of these things that we know here in this life, what would it take for God to make you aware of who you truly are? To make you aware of the heavenly. So that by the time God's done, James, he brings an understanding to you and gives you the power to go forth in a resurrection and get that soul, that part of you, in those things of death and darkness, bound in captivity by enemies. I'm saying simply that it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ and why he was raised from the dead that is so vitally important for us today. The Spirit of Jesus Christ, it exists this morning in me. It exists in many of you because you have believed that the words of Jesus Christ that have been brought forth, that they apply to you, to your spirit, to your heart. And you have invited this Christ. Yes, Lord, I submit myself. I give myself. I believe in you. I don't understand everything that you may say to me at this point, but I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow you in everything you say, that one day I may also be part of this great resurrection. Because I'm going to end you with this simple thought. You do not have to remain in death and hell. There is one that died for you, sent forth the powerful message of his gospel to raise you from sleep, to raise you from death, and to bring you into eternal life. God can change you this morning. The Spirit of God is here always, always. And our angels, Jane, they behold the face of the Lord always. Is there anything to the Lord? Come on. There is nothing too hard. So this morning when you talk to you, you do not have to stay in death. The power of God to change you and transform you is present in your midst. Amen? God bless you guys. Have fun with your families today. We love you guys.